Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. We're part of the Athletic Podcast Network. With me today, as always, on Wednesdays, my good friend Alex Spears. Alex, what's up?
Good morning, Andrew.
Good.
What's morning. Up?
Oh, lots is up, Alex.
Yeah.
The NBA believes that they will have full capacity fans at the start of next season.
Which, I thought you were going to say the playoffs. I was like, we got to start making our push.
By the playoffs. No, I think the Thunder have pretty well packed it in for the season.
Your opinion.
You take a look at the remaining schedule, and I think they only have, 11 or 12 more home games, and that's it.
Yeah, 22 overall. And we'll get into this a little bit later, but you know, compared to the other teams, they have the 13th hardest remaining strength of schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Still like 2 games against the Jazz, 2 games against the Sixers coming up. So, yeah, 22 games left.
Yeah, 11 home games remain for the Thunder. And after this week, it's just 8. So like they're obviously not going to have fans this week. And so if you're thinking, oh, maybe the Thunder should have fans, I think they're going to have fans like for 8 remaining home games. I mean,
Sounds like you just want to keep it to yourself because you're getting to go to the games. Isn't that right? You're just trying to keep the people out.
There is a small part of me that really loves the current situation for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, because when they do the t-shirt cannons, they have to aim at you.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, when they do the t-shirt cannon, they have to aim at you.
Chest.
Yeah, because there's only like 10 people there.
Yeah. Oh, man. It is quite an experience being at the game. There is a lot of nice things about it. There's not a lot of hubbub going around in the arena. So it is, I have gotten quite used to it.
Well, it's great. Great for you. Maybe you can, you can write some little, write some little diaries for us. Let us people who never get in there know what it's like.
Yeah.
We're having to watch on Bally Sports, Andrew. That's what we have to do.
Yeah. Oh, Bally Sports. So tonight the Thunder play the Charlotte Hornets, who are also a little banged up, not as bad as the Thunder. They are missing their 2 best players, LaMelo Ball and Gordon Hayward, and also Malik Monk is out, who's having kind of a nice season. So that stinks. And OKC is missing Bazley, Dort, Shea, Josh Hall, Mike Muscala, Isaiah Roby, and of course, Al Horford, who is not listed on the injury report, but also not playing. So Expectations for tonight?
I still like the Hornets even without Hayward and Ball. I mean, Ball, yes, is like one of their best players long term, but he wasn't necessarily the thing that was helping them be a great team or a good team early in the season. And I think the combination of Scary Terry and Devontae Graham, who are both on my fantasy team, shout them out. I think that's going to be enough. Those guys could get 40 shots tonight, and they probably will.
For real. Yeah, they probably will. Yes.
And Terry Rozier has been like low-key incredible this year, especially when you think about like what he could offer to the Boston Celtics right now.
Oh my gosh. He's been worlds better than Kemba Walker this year.
He's shooting 41% from three on 8 attempts per game.
Yeah. 20 points per game on 15 shot attempts. He's been very, very good. That contract looked so dumb originally, but now it's like, is that a bargain contract?
Well, remember he had like the great playoff run and then he had the sophomore slump, you know, after that playoff run where that next season, it just wasn't the same. I think that might've been the first Kyrie season or maybe it was the first Kemba season.
Yep.
Well, no, it wasn't Kemba season. So it must've been a Kyrie season and everyone just like kind of got super down on him to the point that, yeah, when that trade was made and the Hornets took on that contract or signed that contract with him, it was just seen as like a huge joke. Like the Hornets, what are they doing? Meanwhile, the Hornets have now taken mm-hmm. away like two of the best Celtics players in the last couple years. Both on big deals, but it's very both true. Have performed.
I mean, it is what it is. And you know, definitely the Celtics would like to have both those guys back at this point. I was texting with some guys last night. The Celtics look really bad. And this Kemba contract is outrageous. Like, what do they do? What do they do?
I mean, they already used their TPE, so we can't talk about what they're going to do in the summer with the TPE. I saw some tweets last night, Andrew, from like, did you see the tweet from the local media guy in Boston? He's on like WEEI. No. He basically said like, Tatum's going to ask out in a couple of years. And you know what? See him late. So see you later. Like, Celtics fans, or at least this guy, is turning on Jason Tatum, and he is like a big, he's like a blue checkmark guy.
Wow.
Now, I mean, Boston radio hosts are kind of notorious for this, so it probably shouldn't be that surprising. But I always figured like Jason Tatum is kind of like protected from anything. Like everyone recognizes, no matter what is going on with this team, Jason Tatum is like the best thing going. He is absolutely what you would want. And just to see anyone turning against Jason Tatum. Oh, and Kendrick Perkins did too. He had a tweet about like how bad his body language was. Just insane to me.
I'd take Jason Tatum.
Exactly. Yeah. When we talk about like what we could use all of these picks for, I mean, I hadn't even thought of Jason Tatum.
Yes. That is interesting. That is really something. Right,
I would give everything.
I would give everything. You have Shea and Tatum, and then let's say you give like 7 first round picks, which sounds crazy.
Yeah, who cares? Who cares?
But then you still have 7 left to go help fill out your roster, and you have Poku. So, like, what else do you need?
Nothing. We just need Danny Ainge to agree to this.
yeah. I mean, it is wild. Clearly they're not actually going to trade him, or
no.
I mean, and it still wouldn't surprise me if they were able to get it together and Boston comes back and they're a top 3 team in the East. Like, they have that type of talent at the top. So I don't know. This is a weird season. The Boston Celtics have been one of the weirder teams of this season. So I'm not ready to declare anything about the Celtics' future from this season. I think, and the same with Toronto and teams like that. Like, I'm just, let's get through this. Let's get past this season before we start saying one thing is this and this is that. I mean, even with some of the Thunder stuff this year, I mean, some of these guys have played really well. It's just hard to say exactly what their future is moving forward. So, I mean, this weird season it's actually been pretty fun, but I would just say, like, let's just hold off on like massive projections from this season.
On the other hand, maybe the Celtics should trade Jason Tatum. Maybe. I don't know. Just put it out there.
I happen to know a team that would have the assets to get a player such as Jason Tatum. I mean, can you imagine if they somehow got at least maybe they got the 5th pick from Houston and like the 9th pick and then whatever, and then you trade for Jason Tatum. It'd be tasty.
It'd be tasty. Incredible. But yeah, in terms of like,
exit the fantasy world, Thunder fans. Get out. Get out of this fantasy world now.
Oh, please. Man, I was still hanging out. I was still out there.
I know. Everybody get out of there. We have to get out of there fast, Alex. Okay, back to reality. Everybody on the Thunder's hurt. Ooh. No one's playing. thoughts on the new guys? You a big Horde guy?
No, not a big Horde guy. I mean, that game, I don't know what I was expecting, but there's been such a change in the past 2 weeks watching this team night to night. Mm-hmm. To get blown out by the Pistons, who only have 15 wins. I mean, that even within this new era of Thunder basketball, it was still a little surprising. Yeah. And so the things that stuck out, not much. I mean, honestly, it was Poku. Poku was doing a lot more, especially offensively, maybe less defensively. Did you see the John Schumann tweet about Poku fighting around a screen like his mom had just asked him to take out the garbage? Did you see that tweet? It was very sad. He just had no interest in fighting around this screen.
He was very tired toward the end of that game.
Yeah. But
I did see some stuff from him defensively that gave me a little pause, not in a good way. That there was a foul, I think it was in the third quarter, where he just gave a super hard foul in a way that made me think, okay, he's starting to get it a little bit. Like, I think some of this stuff is clicking with him. Offensively, it's much easier to see that things are clicking, but I think even defensively, and there's going to be moments where he's just, I think he was just exhausted trying to get around that screen. There's even a moment where I think it was Teo asked him to come pass the ball in, and he just moseyed on over there just so slowly, and you could tell how tired he was, and just like, oh, you know, I mean, it was, I think he's exhausted. I think this is pretty exhausting for him, but I think mentally a lot of the things that they're asking him to do, and just everything is slowing down for him overall. I think there's been a lot of really good flashes about Poku so far. And
the offensive versatility that he showed. I mean, the very first play was like a really nice drive into a layup, like a contested layup with the guy on his side the whole time. And obviously we've seen him hit threes, but for me, it was all of those mid-range pull-ups. There were like multiple mid-range pull-ups where a guy was defending him and he would shake him loose and get a wide open shot. One, because he actually has some moves, but also because he's super tall, so he can shoot over top of anyone who's guarding him. But that stuff gets you really excited, because especially when you watch like a condensed highlights of that, you start like, you know, really thinking crazy about what Poku could be, because some of those are like superstar shots that he's taking. Yes.
I was going to say, like, those are vet shots that he's taking, not 19-year-old guys who were picked 17th in the draft. I think people forget, like, this, it's funny. There's a little bit of Poku mania. I mean, like, Bill Simmons is talking about Poku on his podcast.
Big Poku mania. Like, there was that image of him in the post game, and that's going around. People are just loving Poku. They love him with the glasses. They love his crew neck sweatshirt.
Yep.
Everyone loves Poku.
Everybody loves Poku. And there are a few 17th picks in the draft that get this kind of push. And I think we also just like have to remember, like, he's 19 years old. Like, there's some of this that we might need to hit the brakes on a little bit with him. Like, you look at his counting stats on the season. Like, if you listen to Bill Simmons and you see all the stuff, you're like, wow, this guy just must be incredible. Like, okay, on the season, he's 7 points, 4 boards, 2 assists on 32% from the field. You know, okay, like,
okay,
slow down. I am excited, and I've seen the flashes from him, but there's just some things that we have to keep in mind with Poku. But I love him, and I'm excited he's on the Thunder, without a doubt.
Yeah, and this is a great opportunity for him because he can get those minutes with the ball in his hands, basically as often as he wants, given the current roster situation. And so we're really getting to see some, like, yeah, if Poku did turn into a star, it would happen like this because he would need the ball in his hands. I mean, he does come off of screens and he shot some threes that way. But for him to reach his true ceiling, it's going to be with the ball in his hands doing some of these ISO pull-ups, which, again, is crazy. And so it's awesome to get to see him get the opportunity to not just try them out, but to do them multiple times in one game.
Yeah. I've got to stop everything because so Joel Angel is out here on the chat saying that he is in McMurdo Station in Antarctica. And if there's any possible way for you to confirm this to me, because I get trouble about this, everybody just putting locations that aren't real. But if this is true, if this is actually true, that you are in Antarctica, that would mean that Down to Dunk has been listened to on every single continent in the world. I want to believe so badly that this is true. I don't know that it is, but I want to believe badly that this is true, that you are listening in Antarctica. It's a very specific location. I don't know. I'm just hoping it's true. If you can give me any confirmation whatsoever, I don't know what that would look like.
Also, it says, I'm reading the Wikipedia, it's on the south tip of Ross Island. Ross Island is a bridge in Portland. And I wonder if there's any connection there. Maybe this goes way deeper than we thought, Andrew.
Maybe so, but I hope that's true. We can go to the stream overall now that we're talking about the stream. Mike McGee in Melbourne. We have Kai the guy in Dallas checking in. We have Dave from Wisconsin. We have Sam in Tempe, Arizona. We have Miroslav in Germany. We have Yoni in Israel. We have Twice God in Pampa, Texas. We have Morgan Stevens in Georgia. We have Tyler Field from Bricktown. We have Jordan in Tulsa. We have Dell in Midwest City checking in. We have Jihad Jasper in Pennsylvania. We have Colm in Ireland. We have Rohit in India. We have Nish from school. We have Adam Brandt from Pennsylvania. We have No Limit in Virginia. Christopher in North Carolina. Kevin in Albuquerque. TCC Dropout says that he's in my cabinets behind me. We have Ben in Fort Smith. We have No Limit wants to know what we think is in Poku's fanny pack. Thoughts?
He is building up the drama because he did get asked the question and he said that he's keeping it secret.
Yeah. Shouts to Brandon Rabar on that one. Good question.
I would guess that it is skincare products. That is my guess. Like chapstick, other things like that.
I was going to say chapstick. There is zero chance there's not chapstick in there.
Maybe a nice lotion, a nice hand lotion.
Yeah. Yeah,
so those would definitely be my main guesses. Maybe even a toothbrush. Maybe he likes brushing his teeth, you know, whenever he, you know, people who brush their teeth after every meal. Maybe he's one of those guys.
Yeah, I like to think that it's just stuffed with Pokemon cards, but I don't know.
Oh, that'd be a poor way to keep your cards. Hopefully they're top loaded, Poku.
Dave in Arkansas. We have Pedro in Brazil. We have Evan in Tulsa. We have Patrick in Indianapolis. We have Hermes in Greece. He says, I'll check your memory every other time I hop on the pod. I'm going to forget. I'm so sorry. We have Henry in Iowa. Evan Christian says that he is loving the Saturday Slam Jam show. We really appreciate that. It's his favorite weekend listen. Let's see. Penny Skillard is in Arizona today. Nice. Enjoy Arizona. We have Johanna in Ghana. We have our guy Joel in Antarctica. I just have to know. Email me, dtdpodcast@gmail.com. Just any way you can confirm this.
Post a picture really... with the Antarctica newspaper, the Daily Antarctica in Antarctica.
Yeah. Yeah.
Prove it.
Yeah,
Joel.
Give me some proof. It would make my day to have proof of that. Jacob and Norman, Gus in Erie, Pennsylvania, Advay, New Jersey, Da in Australia. If I've missed anybody, I do apologize. Ben in Oregon, Andrew from the University of Alabama. We have our guy, James Anderson, as always, here. Thank you so much for joining. We will be right back after this quick break, and we're going to talk about tanking.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And we're back from that quick break. Alex,
what's up?
I'm looking at tankathon.com right now. Gosh, the Raptors, man. The Raptors just can't get it together. They couldn't even beat the hapless Lakers.
Oh, no. It's bad.
That was bad. That would have been a really big one. It was going to be a big one for OKC. They really needed that. But the Thunder sit at 8th right now. In the current lottery standings with Toronto, Cleveland, Washington, Orlando, Detroit, Houston, and Minnesota all ahead of them. And we need to talk through who they can jump.
Yes.
In a matter of these next 22 games.
Yeah, and it's also important to remember that, and I noticed this, Tankathon does this when a team has a tied record, which currently there is not, but last night, before Toronto lost that game to the Lakers, Oklahoma City was tied for 7th. Mm-hmm. They did not have sole possession. And that does change the odds. And when you go on Tankathon, when the Thunder have the same record, which, hey, that could happen after tonight if they lost to the Hornets. Yep. If you scroll down to the bottom of Tankathon, they'll have what the odds would be if there are no ties. And then what it shows you on the main pick screen, or on the like the pick odds page that you can go to, it'll show you what the actual odds are when they're tied, because it does change it. You don't necessarily want to be tied with another team. You want to have sole possession of whatever it is, because it's the tiebreaker is not like, oh, they beat us and so we're worse, and it's not a head-to-head tiebreaker like that.
Yep.
Okay, so Andrew, I'm going to go through every team that is currently ahead of the Thunder. We're going to ignore the teams that are behind us because I can't even think about falling behind those teams.
I know.
I don't even want to think about that. So the things I'm going to talk about, I'm going to tell you how many losses ahead of OKC the team is, because that's the most important thing here. Don't even think about wins. You're just looking at their losses. You have to get at least to as many losses as that team. I'm going to tell you what they've been doing in their last 10 games. I'm going to tell you what their remaining strength of schedule is, and then some good news and some bad news. And then at the end of it, you are going to give a confidence level on a scale of 0 to 10, not 1 to 10. your confidence in OKC jumping this team. So 10, that means 100% chance they're going to jump this team. Okay.
Okay.
So we're starting with the Raptors. Losses ahead of OKC, only one. They have 31 losses. The Thunder have 30. In the last 10 games, the Raptors are 3-7, but they have the 14th ranked offense and the 14th ranked defense. Their remaining strength of schedule, though, sixth hardest in the league. Now, some good news about the Raptors from our perspective. One, Nick Nurse was asked about tanking. What did he say? He said, I don't like it. I don't like talking about it. I don't like thinking about it. And I don't like that it goes on. We're still playing to make the playoffs, and we're still playing to get better. Now, obviously, any coach is going to say that. No coach is going to be like, yeah, I might just purposely try to lose some games. But still,
losing. Yeah,
he was very aggressive about it, which I appreciated. Some other good news. Fred VanVleet has been out. He was out their last game against the Lakers. Kyle Lowry's been out for 7 days. Rodney Hood's been out. All those guys are game time decisions. Okay, so that's good news. The other good news, the Toronto Raptors have a positive point differential. Plus 0.4. That is better than the Blazers, Pelicans, Heat, Pacers, Bulls, Hornets, Spurs, Warriors. This is an average team. That just happens to be terrible in terms of their record. And that's kind of the bad news. They're always in a funk. This team has been in a funk since the beginning of the season. Siakam's been in a funk since the beginning of the season. And that has all led to this current record. One more piece of good news. For as much as we talk about Tampa Bay being a terrible place to be for the Raptors, clearly, for this entire season, they're actually 11-13 in Tampa. Like, they're a 500 team in Tampa, and 8 of their next 11 games are in Tampa Bay. So maybe that's some good news. So what is your confidence level for the Thunder jumping the Raptors?
I just have to believe that that roster will produce better things than this Thunder roster will. So I'll say an 8.
I went with 10. I am guaranteeing that we will be better than the Toronto Raptors. Guaranteeing it, Andrew.
I sure hope so. I produce the Raptors pod, the Raptors Reasonables podcasts every week, and they make me feel so depressed about them.
Well, you need to tell them to pick up the energy. There's some bright spots on the horizon. By the way, in the last 10 games, because I'm going to be doing this for every team, OKC is 3-7. 30th ranked offense, 30th ranked defense. Literally has been the worst team in the league over the last 10 games.
Matches the eye test.
Yes, it does. Okay, next team, Cleveland Cavaliers. They are 2 losses ahead of OKC, currently with 32 losses. Their last 10 games, 3-7, 28th ranked offense, but listen to this, 8th ranked defense. Their remaining strength of schedule, 4th easiest. Fourth easiest. So some good news besides that, Larry Nance Jr., who's been out for the last 4 games, and Jared Allen, who's been out for the last 5 games, are both game time decisions for Cleveland's next game. Kevin Love is back. He played in the last 3 games, and he's like fine. He's been a positive on the court. And if they get those guys back and you have a 5-man unit of Sexton, Garland, Larry Nance, Kevin Love, Jared Allen, like, that is a respectable NBA lineup. The other thing is that they, similar to the Raptors, are 11-13 at home. 8 of their last 11 games, so of this season, are at home. And a few of those games are against some of these playoff teams that maybe will be resting guys at that point. Bad news? I said none. There's no bad news about the Cavs. I think the Cavs are a great candidate to move above the Thunder with all these injured guys coming back. They want to see what they got. They want to see what they got. Why not? You want to see what you have with Jared Allen and the young guards and maybe even Larry Nance Jr. So I say no bad news for the Cavs. So what's your confidence level there?
Probably a 9. I feel a little bit more confident.
They want
to win. They've got some juice to them. Larry Nance is very, very helpful to them for winning. And so if he's back within a game or two, I would say that they'll win more than OKC.
And like, remember what this team was like at the beginning of the season. Like, the big news, the big story about them was how good their defense was. So if they get Jared Allen and Larry Nance back, I think they can maintain that top 10 defense throughout the rest of these 22 games. which is sure. important because we've seen a team like OKC who's terrible on offense this season, but when their defense was good, they were winning way more games than they should have. So mm-hmm. I am with you. My confidence level, also 9. Now we move to the Washington Wizards, Andrew. Those Zards. Losses ahead of OKC, 2. They also have 32 losses. Their last 10 games, 3-7. 27th ranked offense, 13th ranked defense. Now here's our first piece of good news. Remaining strength of schedule, 7th easiest in the league. That's a bright spot there. Some other good news is that Rui, Robin Lopez, and Bradley Beal, who have been out, are all game-time decisions. So, in other words, none of those are long-term injuries. Another piece of good news, Ted Leonsis does not believe in tanking. So we talked about how, you know, Nick Nurse saying that he doesn't like tanking, that's not that big of a deal because it's the coach. However, when an owner says it, that means something. And he was interviewed last January, January 2019, and was quoted as saying, "We will never, ever tank." Which I think is the best news you could possibly have for a team like this that you're trying to jump. And hey, Andrew, there's still 4 games out of the play-in. You know, they can tell themselves. I mean, they're further away than the Cavs, but still, 4 games.
Yeah.
Now, the bad news, Andrew, bad news is that there's a lot of bad energy coming from the Wizards. When they lose, it is not just a normal loss. Like, I can't imagine watching this team seriously because they would just destroy me. They were up by 19 on the Toronto Raptors in their last game, up by 11 entering the fourth quarter and lost on a buzzer beater. And there was a very interesting sequence of tweets from Fred Katz. So Russell Westbrook was asked the key to getting Garrison Matthews and Davis Bertans more shots throughout the game. He said, "I don't know. We're not running around trying to get them open shots. So whenever they get their shots, they get them and then they'll shoot them." That was his quote about that question. And then Fred said, just some context for this, Bertans and Matthews combined for 9 made threes in the first 3 quarters of the game. They went a combined 0-1 from the field in the fourth when Westbrook took 11 shots. Wizards entered the fourth up 11 and lost on a buzzer beater. It just seems like there's some stuff going on with the Wizards that is not good. Now, maybe Bradley Beal coming back fixes all that temporarily because, again, 7th easiest schedule. They have no incentive. Well, actually, they do have an incentive to tank, but their owner has no incentive to tank. He doesn't want to tank. So I still believe in them wanting to win, which I think is the first step to winning. But I don't know how confident I am. Where are you? Confidence level that the Thunder can jump the Wizards?
4.
Oh, no. Andrew, that's bad.
The Wizards are pathetic. I'm sorry. They're an absolutely pathetic franchise. And I don't have I don't know how you could have confidence. I mean, you look at the roster on paper, sure. Great. That should clearly be better, but it just never gets put together on the court. So I have very low confidence in this, but it would also be so Wizards to get to this point for fans to think like, okay, we're going to get a top 5 pick. Like, that's fine. And then they go on like some kind of run and then they end up with like the 11th pick in the draft. Like that would be probably the most Wizards thing to happen, is them getting so close to something that is actually good for them, and then they just absolutely just take it away by going on a run. And also, Scott Brooks, in this, I don't know how to view this in terms of wins or losses, but like Scott Brooks is coaching for his job at this point. And if they end on a good note, like perhaps he can save his job.
They are a prime candidate for whoever the team is that's going to end up in like the 11th or 12th spot this year, which is the absolute worst place to be in the league this season. Like the Kings, I would love for the Kings to make the play-in game, but they are the perfect team that's going to end up in that first spot out of the play-in game. Just the worst place to be in the league. And the Wizards are the other team that I could just see being there.
Absolutely.
My confidence level, Andrew, 7.
You're much more confident than me.
I'm betting on Beal coming back, and I'm betting on that strength of schedule, which again, they just lost to the Toronto Raptors, but still. And again, in the last 10 games, 13th in defense. So there is some hope that they're putting, that they have some identity behind just being an awful team, which I think you need in order to win some games. You have to have some kind of identity. You have to be good at something. Okay, next, Orlando Magic. Losses ahead of OKC, 3. They have 33 losses. Their last 10 games, 4-6, 25th ranked offense, 22nd ranked defense.
Yeah.
Start off with some good news. Their remaining strength of schedule, 8th easiest. Eighth easiest. Okay, some good news. They've got some guys coming back. Cole Anthony, MCW, Ken Burch, all game time decisions. Their last game, they only had 8 active players, which this is very interesting because Mo Bamba still only got 13 minutes in that game, in which Steve Clifford only played 8 guys. Free Bamba is over. It's over. It's done. If he ends up being an NBA player, it is not going to be under Steve Clifford. Now,
yeah, he had some moments. He had some flashes.
I mean, if you look at his stat line, like he was 4 for 5. There's a point when he was like perfect from the floor. It was looking great. But yeah, only getting 13 minutes. Yeah.
Hit a 3. Yeah, he looked great.
So some good news from my opinion, because we've talked about this, especially now we've learned what the Thunder are really like. It's nice having a roster of hungry young guys combined with a good coach. Because I think Steve Clifford is a decent coach, and he's shown to be a pretty good defensive coach, especially. And that's the kind of thing you need to pick up some of these wins when maybe your offensive firepower isn't going to be great. But, you know, Chuma Okeke, Wendell Carter Jr., RJ Hampton, all of those guys getting big minutes, all those guys have something to prove. So I'm a little hopeful from that respect. And then you look at what they've done since the trade deadline and you say, oh, they're only 2-4 since the trade deadline. That's not very good. Listen to this schedule. Blazers, Lakers, Clippers, Pelicans, Jazz, Nuggets. The fact they went 2-4 in that is pretty awesome. Now, is there some bad news? There is. There's 2 legitimate NBA rotation players, Otto Porter Jr., Gary Harris, who are out at least until April 9th. They're going to be reevaluated. If they could get those guys back, and now all of a sudden they have a much more legitimate 8-man rotation, playing Otto Porter Jr., playing Gary Harris, all of a sudden you can see a decent defensive team out of this roster. So my confidence level, oh, the other bad news I put here is that they suck. If you look at this roster as is right now, it's not good. It's not good. It's a ton of young guys. So my confidence level, I'm going to give it a 6. So I'm still feeling pretty positive that the Thunder could jump the Magic. Again, it's only 3 losses that they would have to jump them. That's not too difficult. And you combine that with the remaining strength of schedule, which is 8th easiest, a roster of young guys, I'm feeling okay. And that schedule that we talked about since the trade deadline, I mean, that's about as hard as it's going to, as it could be for any team. So it gets significantly easier going forward. They're going to play Minnesota a bunch of times, I think. So I give them a 6 on the confidence level. Andrew, what do you give the Magic?
3.
Boo. Well, if you had listened to me, I said 6, Andrew. I said 6.
You did? Wow. This is really a... the tables are turning a little bit because usually you're the one that's a little bit more pessimistic.
I know. I just... I look at all these teams and I see the best in them. And then I look at Thunder and I'm always seeing the worst. I don't know. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that says about me.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right about these things. Like I hope that they do jump Washington, Cleveland, Toronto. That would be great. I mean, even if just 5, like if like the 5th spot is where they end up, we'll talk about that in a second. But I'm excited about your confidence level.
Okay, now we move to a different tier. So in my opinion, Detroit Pistons are next. They are 5 losses ahead of OKC. They're at 35 losses. OKC's at 30. Last 10 games, I didn't write it down. I think they're like 3-7. 22nd in offense, 12th in defense. The remaining strength of schedule, though, 11th hardest in the league. Now, the good news is that they've been competitive all year. Didn't really happen last night against the Nuggets, but generally, they have been competitive in almost every single game, and that shows up in their point differential. Even after last night's blowout loss to the Nuggets, their point differential is still negative 3.8, which if we just gave picks based on teams' point differential, That would be eighth worst. So they'd be in the eighth pick. Instead, they're the third worst team right now. They're better than every team we're going to talk about today, other than the Raptors. They're also better than the Sacramento Kings in terms of that point differential. Now, this team's only won 15 games, so what can you really say? But they are 9-15 at home this season, which is like a fine record. And nine of their last 11 games are going to be at home. I also think they're getting better. So Hami is already giving them way more than Svi did. I mean, we like Svi in Oklahoma City. He's been great for the Thunder, but he was not good in Detroit. And Hami is contributing every single night. And he's giving them a ton of energy. He's adding to that athleticism, that they're the athletic core that they're building. It was really interesting, honestly. The biggest takeaway from that Pistons-Thunder game was just like the battle between the two competing front offices and like what kind of players they're looking at, because Detroit looked so much more like athletic and strong in that game, especially with Isaiah Stewart and Hami. Other thing getting better, Corey.
They were sitting next to each other, by the way, at the game.
Who was?
Sam and Troy.
Oh, were they really?
Mm-hmm.
Very suspicious. Wait, so Troy travels with the team, or is that just because it was OKC?
I have no idea.
Well, you should have asked him. There's like 10 people in Chesapeake Arena. Just go ask.
They were in an area of the arena that I couldn't go to.
Oh,
it's like there's different levels of access. I'm level 3 access.
Oh, that's pretty good though.
So
now, is it like DEFCON? Like, is level 1 access the best, or is it level 5?
I think level 1 is the best access.
Okay, we'll keep working
on
it.
On the court with the players. And then there's like a level down from us. But I've had people that I believe are on level 2 come up to level 3 and interact with me.
Oh,
so it's very confusing.
Interesting. Other reasons why the Pistons are getting better. Corey Joseph, solid veteran. He's going to help.
Yeah.
Been helping. Yeah. The other thing, and you may disagree with me on this, Killian Hayes. Now, Killian Hayes is back. He did not look great in the first half. And I would say generally, if you're just focusing on his offensive game, I would agree. It hasn't looked amazing. However, I was really impressed with his defensive potential in that game. There were multiple drives where he like stopped Teo.
Yeah.
And on Basketball Reference, it says he's only an inch taller than Teo, but he looks so much bigger than him on the court.
For sure.
And I think his defensive potential with some of the other guys on that roster, like Isaiah Stewart or Hami, it's really going to look good as they go further into the season. And like I mentioned, their last 10 games, they've been the 12th ranked defense. The other thing that stood out, of course, was his passing. I thought his passing in the second half was really good. So I'm actually hopeful about Killian Hayes, even though offensively it hasn't looked great so far.
Yeah.
So that's some good news.
Yeah, he looked good when the bottom dropped out for the Thunder. Like, that's, to me, it's just, he was awful in the first half when it was like decently competitive. And then when the bottom dropped out and like it was obviously over for the Thunder and all of their like super young talented guys were exhausted, then turned on the Jets for Killian Hayes. Cool. Like, I don't know.
Well, it convinced me.
Yeah. I mean, and also like stopping Teo, who's like not explosive at all. Like, I don't know. I'm a little dubious to that. I don't know.
It was his ninth NBA game. Do you remember?
Fine. It's fine.
Remember Trae Young in Summer League?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, 9 games. I think he's shown some things that will be helpful for winning, even if his offense takes a long time.
Yeah. That's cool. I mean, he's top 10 pick. I don't know. I would expect more. And also KOC's like love affair with him. It's just like, I don't know. Like, I just haven't, I don't know. I don't even see the flashes of it being that.
Wow.
Being that good.
Wow.
Maybe he'll be a good player. It is way too early to declare anything, but I just didn't see anything in OKC that made me think, oh, okay. Like, if you would have asked me, pick out the guy who was a top 10 pick in the draft, find him for me. And I didn't know anything about these guys. I would have never.
You would have said Stewart?
I would have picked Stewart before him, certainly.
I really like Stewart. He's so strong.
He was awesome. He was great. There are just a lot of like men on that team. You know, like there's like.
Yeah, there are. Which,
just a man. Like all of them. I loved it.
And that's probably why one of the reasons why they've been so competitive.
Yeah.
Okay, bad news? None, Andrew. Similar to the Cavs, I don't see anything bad going on with the Pistons. I figure like they're getting some guys healthy. They've always been competitive. So if you're looking at them as someone who could win some games, it's possible. However, my confidence level, 3.
Yeah.
Because I just think it's really hard to make up 5 games.
Five so games in 22. I mean, to me, it's a 1. Like, I just don't really think it's possible.
Okay, I'm giving a little tiny hope there.
OKC would have to lose all of their games.
Which they need to do.
They do need to do it. It's not impossible. I mean, if Shea sits out the rest of the season, which I don't have the information I have says that that is not going to happen. Maybe Dort stays concussed for the rest of the season. They're like, okay, maybe have a chance.
I hope Baze comes back because I really don't think Baze is going to change that story that much. And I would like to see Baze.
I would love to see him. Yes. I would love to see him with some possessions to use.
Yeah.
Yes. And he was, in terms of on-off data, like he was the worst starter among everybody. So, I mean, bring him back.
Bring him back. Okay, 2 more teams. Houston Rockets, losses ahead of OKC, 7. Yeah. 37 losses. Their last 10 games, 2-8. Best offense of this list, 13th ranked offense, 28th ranked defense. The remaining strength of schedule, hardest in the league. Number 1 ranked strength of schedule.
How about that?
Is there good news? Well, Jonathan Fagan from the Houston Chronicle said, they're not tanking. They're trying to win. They're not winning, but they are trying to. And he said, if the idea is to develop their younger guys, well, you only develop them against that level of competition if you're trying to win. So I guess they're not trying to lose.
What younger guys? What younger guys?
KPJ, that's okay. It. Next
younger
question.
Guy.
It's the only young guy on the roster. Younger guy. The bad news, there's a lot of it. John Wall, he's been out the last 4 games. He has fluid buildup in his knee. Eric Gordon, Daniel House, David Nwaba, who would all potentially help, are all out at least another week. And then, as I mentioned, that strength of schedule. Let me just tell you their next 11 games. Mavs, Clippers, Warriors, Suns, Pacers, Nuggets, Magic, Heat, Jazz, Clippers, Nuggets. Like, just a gauntlet. If they win one of those games.
Yeah.
That's insane. If they win that Magic game, that would be awesome for them.
Yep.
And as we will talk about next with the Timberwolves, like, I actually think if you were betting right now, you'd have to pick the Rockets to end up in that top spot.
That's what we want.
My confidence level.
That's great. That's great news.
I know. My confidence level, I had 1. I'm revising it to 0. It's 0.
Yeah.
Nothing's happening good with this team. Yeah.
Even okay. Negative. I feel so bad. You could say negative 50. And that's about how I feel about it.
I would agree with that. Last one, Minnesota Timberwolves. They are 8 losses ahead of OKC, 38 losses. Last 10 games, 3-7, 24th ranked offense, 26th ranked defense. 8th hardest remaining schedule. There is some good news here, though. D'Angelo Russell is back.
Mm-hmm.
And you might say, ooh, D'Angelo Russell, who cares? Well, he's shooting 41% from 3 on 7.5 attempts per game, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Rubio, meanwhile, has been shooting 28.5% from 3, the second lowest mark of his career, mm-hmm. which that in and of itself is kind of amazing because he came into the league as a guy who we all knew was going to be a terrible 3-point shooter, but he actually became respectable over these last couple seasons. And to now have the second lowest mark of his career. The other good news, Andrew, is they really need to see what they have. I'm going to ask you a question. You're going to tell me the answer. How many games have D'Angelo Russell and Karl Anthony Towns played in together? What would you guess?
12.
6.
Really?
6 games. 138 minutes total over 2 seasons. This season, they've been a positive when playing together. Well, of course, it's only been 111 minutes, but still. They've also been 6-9 since the All-Star break.
Yeah.
And that was after Chris Finch kind of came in and installed his new system over the All-Star mm-hmm. break. So these are the reasons why I still don't think, obviously, OKC can jump them. But I do not think they're going to end up in the worst spot because of all those things I just mentioned. And when you compare them to the Rockets, where it feels like everything is just constantly falling apart. The only bad news for them, Malik Beasley is out till May 9th. But overall, I'm feeling more positive about the Timberwolves. Obviously, confidence level is still zero for the Thunder jumping them.
Yeah, definitely zero.
But I do not think they're going to end up with the worst pick, which honestly is bad for them because obviously their pick is top three protected. Mm-hmm. They would ideally want to be in that top spot, and I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be really bad if they fell out of the top three, which is still... I mean, still a coin flip level odds that they will.
So, and even like moving back in the standings, I mean, you can compare them to Detroit. Detroit has 35 losses, so that's only a difference of three losses there. I mean, it's possible that if they really went on a run, they could pass some of these teams other than just the Rockets. I don't think it's going to happen, but again, six games. D'Angelo Russell and Karl Anthony Towns. Like that is incredible. When you think about what they gave up in that trade and to, at this point, have only gotten six games of data just to look at, just to see what they got. That's terrible.
Yeah, that's crazy. It makes that trade look even more wild.
Yeah, I misjudged that trade. Put it mildly. Well, don't go back and listen to my opinion.
I don't even remember what your opinion was. But
I do not like. I did not. I mean, the Andrew Wiggins contract at that time was like in the bottom five, up there with like John Wall and whoever. Yeah. And so, just to get off of that contract, I thought was probably going to require a pick. And so they got off of that contract, which I thought was terrible. And then to bring in a guy like D'Angelo Russell, who, probably shouldn't have been an all-star, but he's still like a decent point guard, and the whole friend thing with Karl Anthony Towns, like it's a nice little bonus there. Mm-hmm. So I just thought if it all came together, they could miss out on the play-in game. You know, but like be like the 10th in the ninth or 10th spot. Yeah. At which point, maybe you don't care as much about giving up that pick. But if that pick is the fourth or fifth pick in this draft, yeah, that is absolutely... I mean, that's franchise changing.
It's... Yes. It will destroy you. Absolutely. Completely.
Destroyed.
Sheesh. Okay, so if you were to predict today, Alex, where the Thunder will end up, it's fast forward yourself to May 17th. The season's over. Where would you predict that they will be in the standings? The tankathon standings.
I think the best case scenario, and this is what I'm going to stick with, is the fifth spot.
Yeah.
That would require them jumping the Raptors, which we talked about, I think can definitely happen, jumping the Cavs. And so then it just comes down to jumping the Wizards, which again, all of those three teams, Wizards, Cavs, and Raptors, I think are going to be trying to win. I mean, the one team you could suggest maybe they're not is the Cavs. But again, the Cavs are getting all these guys back at the same time. Mm-hmm. And they've shown themselves to be, they can be a good defense over an extended period of time. Mm-hmm. So I think they're going to pick up some wins with that fourth easiest strength of schedule. So I think they can jump all those guys. So it comes down to the absolute best case scenario. You might even call it, Andrew.
Don't do it.
The dream scenario. A dream scenario. Would be to get to the fourth spot.
Yeah.
And that would require either the Magic going on a nice little run with this eighth easiest strength of schedule, getting Otto Porter Jr., Gary Harris back, and just being like a really solid defensive team, kind of like what the Thunder were early in the season. Or it would require the Pistons going on a nice run, which that I'm not feeling as good about. Yeah. But again, the Pistons are just so competitive that you could make a case that if they could just win some of these coin flip games that they've had, they should have 17 wins right now. Like they should be right around where like the Magic or where the Cavs are.
Yes.
The fact that they have 15 wins is kind of crazy.
It is wild.
So yeah, so I'm predicting the fifth spot and the upside is the fourth spot. I don't think they can get any higher than that.
Yeah, I don't think so. My prediction would be six.
Ah, the worst!
I know. That's my prediction.
The worst place to be.
It is the worst place to be.
No, Andrew, don't.
I know.
No.
But that's my prediction. No. I'm hoping for better. I have hope that it can be better.
Are you?
But.
Okay, so just really quickly going, if you are in the sixth spot, 0% chance of getting the fifth pick. Zero. Mm-hmm. You cannot move up to the fifth.
Right.
The best or the best odds you have are for the seventh pick, 29.8%, followed by the eighth pick, 20.5%. So you basically have a coin flip chance of being either the seventh or eighth pick. Yeah.
It's a rough spot to be.
That's real bad. That's real
it's
bad.
Really bad. But this is what happens when you win too many games, when you have too many competent things going on with your franchise.
I
it's a curse of competence.
I know it's not that time of season yet, but if they did end up, let's say in the seventh or eighth spot, do you have a favorite guy in that range yet?
Oh, man, it's to me, I mean the bottom drops out pretty significantly. So I would interested in James Bouknight. I'm interested in Moses Moody. Scotty Barnes out of Florida State is interesting. I don't know.
Doesn't sound like anyone's getting you excited, though.
I'm not excited about anybody yet. I like Davion Mitchell. I think that guy's awesome. But yeah, outside of that, I don't know. I don't have anybody that I'm in love with in that range, but you just never know. There's always somebody in that range that ends up being better than people think. It always happens. Now, it's usually one of those guys, so you have to pick the right one. But even you look back at Shea, and I was talking to somebody that covers the Hornets yesterday, and they're reminding me that they had Shea, and they traded him on draft night.
Oh yeah,
and it just Shea wasn't thought to be anything. You could go check it out. Richie Randall, who does this Hornets podcast, I was on it. Buzzbeat pod, so go check that out. It's just funny. I always think about just the Clippers, with regards to Shea, but they traded Shea on draft night to the Clippers, and
yeah,
that's a big thing. It didn't seem like it at the time. It was like, oh, like whatever. It's the 11th pick. Who cares? But somebody always ends up being really good in that range. So you just have to hope the Thunder could pick the right guy if that was the case.
Now, Andrew, a name that you didn't mention as you were going through your interesting guys was Corey Kispert. Are you no longer interested, Andrew?
I was only interested in him as like an auxiliary pick. Like not...
Liar!
Not the...
Liar!
The top 10 pick only.
Really?
Yeah, if they ended up with 5 and 9, then I would be interested. Because to me, you've got two guys that both have the ability to put up 20 in a game. And you need your Joe Harris, right? To go with those guys.
Yeah, and you need to spend a top 10 pick to get Joe Harris.
Joe Harris is very good.
He is, but I feel like there's more and more of those guys every single year in this league.
Yeah.
Like there's we're the Joe Harris like number of guys who are like Joe Harris is rapidly increasing.
Yeah.
I feel like every team is finding that kind of a guy.
Yeah. I like him. If Scotty Barnes, I would take Scotty Barnes over him. Easy. Moses Moody, I would take over him. Keon Johnson out of Tennessee is definitely more intriguing as a prospect just because of the upside stuff. But if you're just looking for shooting, he was also like super terrible in the last two games. There was a lot of like air let out of the balloon, the Corey Kispert balloon, the last two games for Gonzaga.
Yeah, definitely. Especially in the final. I'm predicting. Now, I have not done deep dives on any of these guys yet. Yeah. I'm just predicting that the guy I will, he'll become my guy that I'll be wanting to take if we're in that range. Any guesses? It's going to be Jalen Johnson.
Okay, yeah.
That's who I'm predicting. Because I just think I'm going to be able to make a case. Again, have not looked into it at all. I'm going to be able to make a case that this guy's five-star recruit. Yes, things didn't work out at Duke, but we shouldn't hold that against him. Let's look back at like why this guy was prized so highly as a recruit, mm-hmm. and let's go get that guy.
He feels like a Presti guy too. Like he's 6'9". He's does have kind of a weird pass where you're like, what exactly is this guy? And he is definitely a swing for the fences type of prospect too. Yeah, I could see it certainly. And, you know, I mean, even like the Darius Bazley stuff, it was like very weird. Like it's a very weird year for him. It didn't scare the Thunder at all. They think, honestly, we have to keep in mind that they will never pick Corey Kispert because it's all about taking swings, right? Corey Kispert's not a swing. He's a base hit, right? Like they want a home run. They want a grand slam here. And so the guys that obviously all of the top five guys are that. And then Jalen Johnson is certainly that. Keon Johnson is that. Moses Moody is closer to that. Oh, Moses Moody, I think he's still 18, by the way.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Even like
I changed.
Like Zaire Williams is that, you know, to an extent.
Yeah.
So like some of the guys I do like I do like Corey Kispert. I do like Davion Mitchell, but they're both 22. Davion Mitchell's older than Corey Kispert. By the way.
Yeah.
So it's even like Jaden Springer, the other Tennessee guy who's 18, and he's more of the type of swing that the Thunder will take than the Davion Mitchells or even the James Bouknight, who's already 20, and definitely Corey Kispert is 22. I mean, they want to take a swing, and that's what all this is all about, is just maximizing your potential, and then you go get role players somewhere else. So, I mean, the Corey Kispert stuff is always, it's only something in my head, but if I'm putting on like my Thunder hat of what they would do, to me, he's probably not even in consideration.
Yeah, and you look at some of the teams that could potentially be in that range. Like, there are a lot of teams that could use Kispert or even Davion Mitchell. I mean, imagine Davion Mitchell going to the Raptors.
Yeah.
You know, Kyle Lowry leaves this summer, mm-hmm. and he comes in as their new young guard. Or a team like the Wizards.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, they probably don't need Kispert because I feel like they have a lot of Kisperts on their team.
Yeah, they definitely
But maybe a team
do.
Like the Kings. Maybe he'd make sense on the Kings. There are definitely going to be teams in that range who feel like, oh, we're one piece away from being a playoff team, and this is the guy.
Pelicans. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's teams. He's also, like, totally a Pacer. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Whether he's a Pacer on draft night or not, he will eventually be a Pacer.
He will be a Pacer.
You can just guarantee that. Thanks so much for listening to our show. Thanks for following along on the stream. Shout out to Daniel in the UK. He said that he missed the pod. His wife made him go shopping. Oh, so
no. Oh,
come on, Daniel. Gotta have your priorities straight, man. He says, what's on, boys? What's on? Have a great Wednesday. Enjoy the game tonight, and we will talk to you guys again on Friday.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.